One more hour of the program. Still time to come out and say hi here at Rouse's. Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. I'm Seth Dunlap. You can get your party platters, get your game day food, and maybe some adult beverages too. Do a little choppa style, says DePaul Smith out here in front of us as we get ready for a weekend full of football. We will talk, obviously, more about Saints-Eagles. You've been doing that here for 2 hours. We'll make our predictions. We'll play a little Gimme One a little bit later. But I want to take a little interlude here, fellas, and talk a little bit of college football. And a two-pronged approach here when talking about college football. When you look at the quarterbacks that have been played, Deuce, in the championship the last few years, I guess in the NFL the old adage has always been you need an elite guy to win a championship. We've heard that. But in college football, you don't. You can build around kind of a game manager guy. I kind of think, and actually I really think, that those times are changing. Here's the guys that have played in the championship game the last few years. We know this year with Tua, and then, of course,
Trevor
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Last year it was Tua, and then you had Deshaun Watson in there a couple of years in a row. Marcus Mariota's been there recently. Jameis Winston, Jake Fromm was there last year, the best freshman quarterback in football. When you look at the landscape of these elite programs in college football, and you talk about LSU here, LSU still is playing big-time catch-up at that spot, and I still am unconvinced, even with all the talent they have coming back, and we just heard Rashard Lawrence coming back, and maybe Devin White comes back too, but if they're playing catch-up at the quarterback position still, I don't know if they're going to win a title. Well, and that's what that program's supposed to do,
well,
guys.
Before you go down that rabbit hole, I want to talk about the transfer portal. And all of the – do you realize the last 4 years, the number one quarterback in the country has transferred?
I did not know that.
The last 4 years, whoa, the number one quarterback after his freshman year has transferred from his original school the last 4 years.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
How about that?
Well, the bottom line is they just want to play, and if they don't like the opportunity or the task at hand, and
Well, it's because of the quarterback accumulation at these programs.
Quarterback accumulation. That's exactly it. And so they stockpile, and you tell a kid, you know, particularly some of those top kids, and this the last one is Justin Fields, mm-hmm. you know, who is transferring. And he calls Tate Martell, who was at Ohio State, to transfer. Justin Fields played at Georgia. He couldn't beat out Fromm. And when Fromm was there, Fromm beat out Eason, who went to Washington. I mean, and so – it's amazing that some of those young quarterbacks, Shea Patterson,
same
type of deal.
Jalen Hurts is supposedly looking at Mike Leach in my alma mater, Washington State.
I think he's going to either end up because, look where his offensive coordinator went to. And I think Maryland is a landing spot for he as well as possibly Miami is possibly a landing spot for him as well. But he graduated in December.
Right.
So he is a little different from some of those other guys that they have eligibility left as far as years are concerned. And some of them, most of them, Eason now, I know he sat out in redshirt, but most of these guys are transferring and applying for immediate relief from the NCAA to play right away.
Well, to show you how good Clemson is, now, think about that with Dabo rolling the dice. Wasn't there a quarterback?
He transferred to Missouri.
Yeah. Wasn't he like, come on, talk about.
He got him there.
He has got him there. And he's thinking, well, I think this Lawrence kid's better. And look how that worked out.
He was.
But look how it worked out. Uh-huh. Now you can have the potential paper then to go out there and do it. I mean, he was unbelievable. Now, what I think is Clemson's way better than like LSU when I look right now on the O-line. I mean, I look at Lawrence. Wasn't he able to step up and make throws? I've watched LSU-Alabama games. The quarterback ain't stepping up. That rush is there. So when I look at Clemson's offensive line, LSU's had the D-line, and maybe not like Clemson's D-line was
Clemson
unbelievable.
Clemson had four first-rounders.
And then three
first-rounders for sure.
And that one guy was suspended but didn't play?
Yeah, well, the best one, Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, right.
You know, he was suspended for a drug test.
But what I was impressed with now, Deuce, I understood like where Clemson was in D-line. But what I was impressed with is Clemson's offensive line, how they handled Alabama. Now, when you look at that, I mean, did Lawrence look like a freshman quarterback?
No.
Did he look rattled? He looked very confident. He was stepping up. That's what I noticed. A pocket quarterback. And Lawrence can make plays. But But Holly was stepping up in the pocket. Now, the receivers were unbelievable.
Right.
Given an opportunity to catch the ball.
Well, they're returning 70% of their production in pretty much every statistical category. So, I mean, they're going to be the overwhelming favorites to win again next year.
So, it doesn't matter ACC, SEC. Clemson is Clemson right now.
No, Clemson is Clemson. Yeah. But if you're looking at LSU, and this isn't a shot at Joe Burrow, I'm on the record saying LSU would not have won 10 games to count the bowl game without Joe Burrow, not if Miles Brennan started or Narcisse. He was important to this program. But guys, can they win a title next year with Joe Burrow?
Okay, I have a question with you.
I mean, seriously, and this is my – they've got to figure this out. This has been a decades-long problem at LSU. They're sitting here for the last 6-7 months touting the 25th best quarterback prospect, Peter Parrish, as the savior for this program now. He's supposed to come in here and be the savior of this program. That's unfair to Parrish. And really, there's no reason why LSU, with the funds and how they recruit elsewhere, they can't fix the quarterback problem. And that's going to cost them chances at SEC and national titles here. It just is. It just is, in my mind.
Well, I need to see the rest. I mean, because I know what's coming back from a receiver standpoint. Offensive line, can they get some guys to step up there? Defensive line, they're going to be fine. We know that. I mean, look. It's going to come down to two or three
games. Okay, I have a question for both of y'all.
It's going to come down to two or three games, and the problem is
– the expectation could be there next year.
Well, the expectation – I mean, the expectation is to win at least 9 next year.
Nine. They got a 10 or 11.
Well, no, that's before bowl. I'm talking about 9. It's going to come down to two or three games for LSU, and I don't know if
they better
Clemson,
win double digits, Deuce.
Well, Bobby, I mean
– I'll tell you, Coach O's going to get a lot of pressure if he's not winning – 10 games, 11 wins with the bowl, or just 11-1,
10-2. I just counted the regular season. I mean,
no, they're 10-2, 11-1. That's what they're expecting right now with Joe Burrow.
I agree with Bobby on this
with Joe Burrow, they expect that. Now,
sometimes you got to be real.
Okay.
You ain't being real.
But this is – okay, if this is my point, though, guys.
But it's not the quarterback, though. That's what you're not understanding.
But how can you not say it's the quarterback when in the four important games on LSU's schedule this year, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Florida, I'm just telling you what happened this year. The four most important games for LSU this year, Joe Burrow went an entire month, those four straight games, no touchdowns, four interceptions, 50% completion percentage, and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Like, you can beat up on Ole Miss and Vanderbilt and whoever else you're playing and these FCS teams that you're playing, but if you can't beat Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Auburn, these teams here, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
But Joe Burrow came up big time against Auburn at the end of that game.
But I'm telling you that four-game stretch there, you didn't score against Alabama. You didn't throw a touchdown pass against in the
Okay, I have a question, both of you.
Are you
okay, one player.
None of you guys have answered the question here. Can they win an SEC title?
I did, but you didn't want to listen.
Okay, maybe I didn't listen. Can they win an SEC title or a national title here with a Joe Burrow type of quarterback?
No, yes. The team's not good enough. That's not Joe Burrow.
I just said you need to see the other pieces that are around him, but you don't want to listen.
It's not Joe Burrow. Right. It's not Joe Burrow. Because, okay, just look at this scenario. Okay, look at Lawrence. Don't we all love Lawrence? So what if you put Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, on LSU's team?
That's my point.
He's not going to lead them to a national championship.
Yeah, they ain't going to beat Alabama.
Okay,
they've got better overall talent.
Listen, Alabama would kick – if Lawrence is the quarterback of LSU, Alabama would still kick their butt.
Okay, you think that Joe Burrow – he's on Clemson's team. You think that Joe Burrow – in that game beats Alabama.
Yes, it would have been closer.
Do you have an
look at
the receivers. ATN.
Do you have an ATN on LSU squad?
No, just one player.
Do you have that one player on LSU squad?
I guess my friend.
Do you have that one player on that roster right now?
No. Haven't we already seen this? No, I'm telling you guys, haven't we already seen this in 2011 or whatever other year when the pieces have been around the quarterback and it's been a problem?
Listen, Clemson embarrassed Alabama. They won by 4 touchdowns. I think if Burrow's the quarterback of Clemson, they win by 10 points.
They still win the game.
Because they kicked Alabama's behind. The team's better.
Well, all I will say is, it's a great conversation because I think, it's the debate that they're going to be having inside the athletic department and the coaches' offices over there. All I will say is we will see after the games next year, after that Alabama game, if we're talking about for the 20th time in 20 years or whatever it is, I guess it would be the 19th time in 20 years, why LSU can't solve this quarterback problem.
If LSU's O-line don't block Alabama,
it don't matter who's the quarterback.
Yeah, it don't matter who it is.
And that's what I was trying to say earlier.
You can run around and
it depends on the other pieces that he has around him.
All I know is if LSU's offensive line would block for Lawrence like they blocked for Joe Burrow, he ain't doing jack.
It's Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Seth Dunlap here. Great conversation on WWL. Having a lot of fun here out at Rouse's in Covington. Thanks, everybody, for coming. You still have a half an hour to come see Bobby, Deuce, and myself as we talk a lot of football today. Getting ready for NFL football following our show. It'll be the Colts and the Chiefs. Big snowstorm out there. I was seeing some pictures of that, and we'll see if that lets up before the game or not. Talking a little LSU, here's a text from the 504. The difference between Clemson and LSU is only O-line productivity. Text from the 225 saying, you wrong, Seth. Well, if you don't think I'm bringing receipts to this conversation, you haven't listened to my show for 2 years, guys. If you think the only difference between Alabama or Clemson or Oklahoma is offensive line and stuff like that, I'm sorry, you just haven't been paying attention. There is no reason why LSU consistently settles for 3-4-star guys at the quarterback position when all the other premier programs in the country don't. Here's the facts. The top programs
in the
country.
Before you come with your facts, are we talking about 1 year or are we talking about 3 or 4 years?
What do you mean?
Like recruiting? You talking about?
I'm talking about recruiting right now.
1 year or are we talking about over a 3 or 4 year period?
Well, I'm telling you what's coming in because college football, you know this.
Are
we talking about 1 year or are we talking over a 4 year period?
Well, the thing is that you can say over a handful plus the quarterbacks that really made it at LSU. Potentially, is Zach Mettenberger.
Well, they're not getting developed here. That's another conversation.
Go ahead.
Well, they're just not getting developed. You can say they brought 4-star guys, and here they're not getting developed, and I think that is
I agree 100%.
That's a completely legitimate argument here. But if LSU is going to catch up to the Clemson and Alabama's, they got to figure out this quarterback position. Alabama has Tua. Clemson's going to have Lawrence. Oklahoma will either have Kyler Murray if he doesn't go, or if he does go to the NFL, they're going to have the nation's top quarterback prospect, number one prospect in the country in Spencer Rattler. Georgia has Fromm, and they also have Dwan Mathis and John Reese Plumlee incoming. Auburn has the number two prospect in the country, 5-star guy Bo Nix at quarterback. Here's the thing. Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Washington, now all annual playoff contenders, they all have top 10 quarterbacks, guys. I am sorry if you're LSU. I am tired of these excuses that you can't recruit or develop the quarterback spot. It is keeping you from being a consistent title contender, and that's the fact. And if people don't want to admit it, you can keep complaining for the next 20 years that you're never going to win anything.
So in college, do you have to have a top or 5-star quarterback to win it all?
I think the times are changing. Absolutely. 5-star, no. I think you got to develop a quarterback.
What do you look like? I look at Jake Fromm. Do you view him as a first-round draft pick NFL? I mean, not necessarily, but look at his supporting cast.
I think he's a first-rounder.
You think he's a first-rounder?
Now, to Deuce's point here, I do agree that you don't necessarily have to have the 5-star guy coming in, but you got to have people that can develop
the
quarterback.
Well, you want to be able to develop, man, I mean, but you don't have the talent around him. It doesn't matter. That's the problem.
Agree with that.
Well,
agree
now, that. What LSU has to do, because Louisiana is not necessarily producing those upper echelon quarterbacks who's rated amongst the best, so can LSU recruit the top quarterback in the nation and convince them to come to LSU?
Okay,
here's the other thing that you also kind of negate when you argue with that argument. LSU's offense traditionally has not been quarterback friendly. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
no, they're going to run the ball in the trenches.
So what quarterback wants to come and just hand it off?
And they go back. That's how Les Miles did things. And Coach O does the same thing like USC.
But Alabama.
A USC Pete Carroll offense, that's what they did.
Yeah.
Old school pro ball.
Well, Carroll could recruit quarterbacks, though.
But what I'm saying. But it was still run first. And play action. Now, in California, quarterbacks.
And look where he's at.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I think all this throw goes into the gumbo pot. I don't think it's just one thing here, Deuce. This is a great point that LSU's offense hasn't been quarterback friendly before. But Alabama, even the first 6-7 years under Saban, you could say the same thing. But he saw the changing landscape of college football.
He changed offensively. He was adamant against hurry up or spread offense.
He wanted to stop the rules.
He wanted to change the rules. But even Nick Saban adapted. So, I mean, that's the same thing. That's what got Les fired.
To show you how he adjusted, he went and got Lane Kiffin. Come on. You know he really didn't want Lane Kiffin.
No.
But he's worried about winning. And, you know, and he would chew out Lane, whatever, but he's still letting him run the offense.
And you brought up something off the air here, Bobby, that just the recruiting, if you talk just in the SEC West, this is what concerns me for LSU.
Man.
They're obviously Coach O's done a hell of a job recruiting this last year. I'm sorry, anybody who's still on this hate Coach O bandwagon needs to get off that one because he's outperformed in expectations, I think.
But look at the competition.
I know, and this is where the quarterback issue scares me here in the SEC West.
Well, you look at Texas A&M, their recruiting class, and obviously Alabama's always there. And you just look at the SEC in general. But when you break down the SEC West, and you know what? It's unacceptable that, you know, you're third or fourth place. You got to win the SEC West, get the SEC championship. But
do you think
I think we disagree on the quarterback. I mean, look, I know that you have to be able to develop a guy, but the landscape of transfer, how kids are transferring, if you miss on a guy and or you can always try to catch him, as far as you do get some of them that go to junior college. I just think that you can get a quarterback, particularly for a year, if my team is really good. I mean, look at the Burrow situation as well, where he was a grad transfer kid. I mean, now, if you're talking about long-term, that's a different story. You have to be able to recruit and develop. But if I've got a team that's ready-made that can go in and compete this year, I can find a quarterback or at least a system where I can develop around it.
Well, I have a question for you, Seth. Do you think LSU gets the double-digit wins without Joe Burrow?
No, I said no. Absolutely not. He was their best option at quarterback. They're not getting to 10 wins with Miles Brennan or Lowell Narcisse or Justin McMillan.
To me, that's why I look at that. That was the right move. I mean, now you want to maybe get a better version of Joe Burrow, but still, it's not Joe Burrow's fault. I thought he was tough, and he did his job.
This is not an anti-Joe Burrow thing at all. Yeah. I don't even put me in that category. It's Bobby Deuce and Seth. When we come back, we'll play a little Gimme One. This went pretty well last time, so you and Deuce will face off here. When we come back. And welcome back. It's a special edition of Sports Talk live out at Rouse's until 3 o'clock. Bobby Hebert and Deuce saying hi to the fans, signing some autographs to my right. Dominic Mitchum, our engineer to our left, Dave Potter back in the studio. Thanks for joining us here. And as you get ready for football today, head out to your local Rouse's. Grab some party platters. They have sandwich trays, $15.99, some egg rolls, brownie trays, and, of course, big old cold beer section that I've been staring at, Dominic, back over there. I'm going to swing over there afterwards. All right, guys. We did this last time. It went pretty well. I want to play a little game called Gimme One. And you can extrapolate on this. You don't just have to. It doesn't have to be one-word answers here. But I'm going to give you some options here. Throw it to you, and I want you to give me one of these choices as we run through. We'll start easy here as we go through the games, and I know we already did this, but let's do it again. Let's pick some games here in the divisional round. Colts and Chiefs, give me one. Who's going to win?
I'm going Colts. So you can't take the point, just head up?
Just straight up. We're not in Vegas, Bobby. Okay. We don't win a football game.
I'm still going to go with the Colts.
You do have a chance to change here. You're still on the air.
No, I'm going to go with the Colts. Listen, who doesn't like Andrew Luck? Andrew Luck might be the biggest doofus, humble guy, most talented guy I've ever seen. He just, oh, shucks. He just, who hates Andrew Luck?
That was a pretty
Luck?
Good impression.
I don't, anybody hates Andrew Luck. Come on, why? I mean, listen, I know his dad, Oliver Luck.
Oliver Luck.
Oh, Houston Oilers.
Isn't he involved with the new AAF?
Yeah, he's the league president.
And NFL Europe and all, going way back. Yeah. No, Andrew Luck is like, man, how can you be anti an Indianapolis, the Colts? I mean, that's like us, small market kind of in the South. So, I don't know. Kansas City, same thing, but I'm going to go with the Colts.
I'm not going to go on that big of a rant, but, yes, I like the Colts.
All right, dude, so we'll start with you, Chargers-Patriots. Again, you can revise anything you said earlier. Give me another chance here.
We never picked this game. We talked about it briefly, but we never picked this game. And, you know, this is a tough game for me. And it's really tough because I like how the Chargers, their defense really can travel. Anytime that you can rush the passer, that creates problems for an offense. And I think that they really have two elite pass rushers in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So, you know, this is a tough game for me to really pick against Brady. And so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go with New England.
Well, just to be different, I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Don't be different. I mean.
No, I don't know. Deuce, he's and I'm a big Phillip Rivers fan, but he's 0-7 against the Patriots and Tom Brady. I think he's going to get over the hump.
Patriots at home. You never know what kind of
What was interesting was, you know, the Chargers lost a couple of games because of kickers, because of their kicker, and they signed a new kicker this week. Now, they really didn't clarify whether he would kick extra points or long extra points, but specifically, specifically, he will kick off. Mm-hmm. And apparently he has a stronger leg. And so that's where you talk about Cordell Patterson having an impact on that game, because if you go back and you look at the game last week, Baltimore had a couple of chances to be able to bring it out. And so they felt like that was a weak spot on their roster. So the Chargers signed a kicker specifically for kickoffs and possibly for long field goals. So that's going to be a, it's going to be a pretty good game. It should be a pretty good game.
Because you look at Cordell Patterson, you know what he reminds me of? Like Pro Bowl, All-Pro returner, what
Will
he did
Hester.
With the Vikings, Devin Hester.
Devin
exactly.
Hester.
So that's why the Chargers are looking at, man, we don't want to give him a chance, right,
yep.
Deuce?
Yeah. Yep. And so you're talking about Patterson. He was a guy that really didn't catch on at Minnesota.
He's an okay receiver.
Yeah, he's an okay receiver. He only played JUCO ball, played 1 year at Tennessee, left early. I mean, and really is not refined as a receiver. But you put the ball in his hands, he's a play. He's
all right,
a playmaker.
They even ran. I've noticed him in the backfield.
They run the speeds. He's a big guy.
He's running back.
Yeah,
plays.
Running back.
I'm going to frame the next one this way. Give me one team you want to see the Saints play: Cowboys or Rams.
Well, I'm not scared of the Cowgirls, but I don't care who's playing Dallas. I'm not cheering for them. So, you know, without Cooper Kupp. You know, everybody said, well, you don't want to play the Rams twice because look at the shootout. Listen, Rams are Cowboys. I'm not afraid of any NFC team. I'm worried about us going to the Super Bowl and then not winning. Oh, God.
This question's making Deuce nervous. He thinks I'm counting my chickens before they hatch here.
That doesn't make me nervous. I mean, I feel either team. I mean, you could flip a coin as far as that matchup. That's why I think this game here against the Eagles is so important. I feel really good about next week's matchup if they can get there. But you got to get there. And so that's why this game here is so, so important for the Saints. You know, the Rams, they present different problems, but I feel like that you can run the football on them. When you talk about playing Dallas, you know, I don't think Dallas can slow you down from an offensive standpoint like they did at home. You know, even if the refs allow them to play physical, I think the Saints would come with an altered game plan. And then I think, you know, I don't think that you have given Ted Ginn Jr. enough credit, his ability to stretch a defense. You know, you did not have him against Dallas, and you did not have him against the Eagles. His ability to stretch a defense, even if it's just throwing it deep to him one time, that safety has to back off.
Right? Well, it said you brought this up. Speaking of the official or officiating, this crew, the Saints, are going to have, is it Sheffers?
Carl Sheffers.
Carl Sheffers. 80% of the home teams have won this season when Carl Sheffers is the head official. But what's even better, he's called 12 Saints games, and the Saints are 11-1. And they've outscored opponents 413 to 252. They're averaging 34 points per game with this officiating crew. And this same crew.
That's the only time the officiating crew ever gets a cheer. Yeah. Was right there.
Well, and interesting for this year. For this year, it's the same crew that called the Eagles game and the Washington Redskins games for us.
Sheffers did the Super Bowl 2 years.
So it was the same crew that called the Eagles
and you look at it. Look at this crew. The Saints are 11-1. The Eagles with this crew, they're 5-6.
All right, now we're going to get a little fun with Gimme
One. I like that.
Gimme One, Nick Foles or Carson Wentz?
Like as far as the future?
You can frame it however you want. Gimme One, Nick Foles or Carson Wentz?
I don't go with Carson Wentz, even with his ability, because to be reliable or accountable, you got to be available. So that's why, depending on what Nick Foles goes in the future, I don't know how the Eagles fans would have a revolt if they wouldn't, if he wouldn't be in the
I'm
fold.
Talking right now, though. Foles or Wentz?
If you're talking right now, I've got to go with Foles. I mean, because my problem with Wentz is I don't know how bad he's truly hurt, even though they haven't put him on injury reserve. How bad is he really hurt?
He played terrible against the Saints. He threw three picks. That was his worst game.
Okay. Now put your mind in the Eagles front office here. I'm going to frame it this way. Carson Wentz or Nick Foles plus two first-round picks, because that's going to be their decision this summer. Either you trade Wentz for two first-round picks and keep Foles. Or
I would
Wentz.
Do that for sure.
Which one?
If you get two first-round picks,
so
your
Foles
Wentz
plus two first-round picks
yes,
over Wentz.
The first-round picks for sure.
How about you, Deuce?
If you get
that's a tough question.
If you get
that's
two first, if you get two first rounders,
now that's what you get. I think
I'm not talking about like one and three or two first rounders. If That's a lot of value there.
That's a lot of value. I mean, but you also, like I said, we don't know how hurt he truly is. And then the thing that you have with Wentz, if you do trade him, you've got him for 2 years on a cheap contract.
Yeah.
Nick Foles, he's going to get paid this offseason.
Yeah.
So you got to have the room to be able to pay him.
All right, give me one quarterback.
Carson Wentz, what we made him Wentz.
Yeah, give me one quarterback this playing this weekend not named Drew Brees.
That you like?
That.
You got to take one. Which one are you taking?
Man, you need to alter this game. I need some more information.
I don't know.
You can frame on however you want. It's quarterback, your team.
Well, the thing is, how can you go against
They're supposed to be tough, by the way.
How can you go against Tom Brady at home?
Yeah, the man that won five Super Bowls, yeah, six Super Bowls.
I'm taking Andrew Luck. I'm taking Andrew Luck right now.
I'm an Andrew Luck fan, too.
I like Andrew Luck, but I ain't going to take Andrew Luck against Tom Brady.
All right.
Now I got a question.
Uh-huh.
You talk inclement weather, and you know how he could spin it, and he's from Texas. I mean, you got to be able to, I guess, still throw it in cold weather. How will Pat Mahomes?
We'll find out.
How will he throw it? That'll be interesting to
I
see.
I think he's going to throw it fine. All right. The question is, are they catching it?
Yeah, yeah.
Kyler Murray playing professional baseball or Kyler Murray playing professional football? What's the smarter decision?
Okay, if I can look in a crystal ball and he will make the major leagues, play baseball. But initially, you get the payday and
NFL.
Yeah. And then NFL could.
He's got to make the decision by tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
Well, he has to declare. Just because you declare doesn't mean you're necessarily going, right?
No, you'd have to declare, though.
Right, right.
He has to declare.
If he's going to make it at the highest level in both leagues, baseball, it ain't even close. But
right.
Whether. Because you could say, I'm in the Oakland A's system. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
How long is it going to take?
To be able to make it to the majors? Yeah.
His dilemma is what? It's $4.5 million signing bonus.
It's in the bank right now.
Well, it's a signing bonus.
He has to give it back.
He has to give it back if he goes and plays football. But here's his dilemma. Pitchers and catchers report like February. Let's just call it the 28th. The NFL Combine is like the 14th, 15th, or somewhere in there. If he is going to go to the NFL Combine, he's either going to have to be at one or the other. He's not going to be able to do both. And so that's why you'll know a little bit better. But here's the thing that also that's a disadvantage for him. You don't get the guarantees in the NFL like you do NBA or even in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And what I mean by that is no NFL team is going to tell you, we're guaranteed if you're on the clock, we're going to take you at number three or number four. The only player that does that, gets that guarantee, is the number one player.
And to truly get the utmost contracts, except for maybe one or two guys, what, you got to be a closer or a pitcher? You're not just a position player.
Well, unless you're Bryce Harper.
Unless you're Bryce. That's right. It's like
he's
one
a center
or two.
Fielder?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not like.
All right, and this last one,
quarterback.
This last one comes from Bobby. Apparently, you were talking about emotional support animals. These two emotional support animals were flown this last week. I believe it was on a Delta flight. You got to choose one. You're flying with an emotional support animal, a tarantula or a peacock. Those were on a flight this week. Which one are you taking?
Well, if
Seth, what you got going on?
If you need a tarantula or a peacock,
flying with a tarantula, man.
Well, you don't need to be flying. Stay home. Yeah. I mean, you don't. But if you need one, a peacock would be more disruptive to the people sitting around you with the feathers all going everywhere.
You're saying a tarantula wouldn't be disruptive?
No, you put it in a little bit of cage.
Hey, y'all really talking about what do y'all got going on?
He said he was talking about this tarantula on a flight, and he's right. These two were flying on a flight this
last week. What airline was this?
Well, it was Delta.
Well, that's too much political correctness. They got to nip that in the bud. Hell no, the tarantula. If that's going to make you feel better about
birds,
flying.
Birds, spiders.
I could see a little puppy dog or a kitten or something. I know damn peacock or tarantula.
It's Bobby Hamer and Deuce McAllister, Seth Dunlap here. 15
a peacock,
more minutes.
Aren't you being disruptive with your fellow passengers?
You're being something.
Yeah, the feathers are way out here. It's like in people's
faces. It's a small peacock,
I think you need
Bobby,
to be on your pills before you step on that flight.
It's a small one.
That's what I think. But anyways, we'll make some Saints-Eagles picks coming back here. Live at Rouse's on the North Shore on WWL. We said he'd rather have a snake. Samuel L. Jackson has something to say about that. One of the craziest movies there.
Snakes on a plane?
Yeah, snakes on a plane, Deuce. Snakes bother you?
Yeah, I'm not going to play with no snakes.
Snakes don't bother me. I'd rather do a snake than a spider here. Okay.
Let one bite you, and you'll find out.
Yeah. You know what? It's weird. I grew up with snakes. I grew up in the Northwest. So we had rattlers and poisonous snakes. Spiders are the ones that scared me, man.
Did it bite you?
Never got bit.
Okay.
Never got bit.
Did you get one bit
by a spider?
No, never got bit by a snake.
I got bit by a black widow. Oh, God, I thought I was dying. Those
will kill you.
That is another show. That is another show.
And snakes will kill you, too.
I got a bit by my spine in the back.
You had to go to the hospital, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I went 22 hours later, and if I wasn't a big dude, they said I probably would have died. I thought, like, friends, my mom and dad, you know, they always, like, suck it up. You know, you get hit in football. You know what happened? They go, you know. I said, I don't know, man. This is, you know. And,
where were you at to get bit by a black widow?
Farmhouse and down the bayou by a Lafourche cutoff. And I got bit, and I swear I woke up the next morning. It was as cold as ice as my fist, and it was like sweating. And I tell you what, I thought I almost had like paralysis, because all of a sudden you're kind of breathing like this. And my dad and mom was telling me, like, it's like, I don't know, you get stung by a wasp or, you know, a bee or something. It's nothing. And I was like, okay, you know, suck it up. And then we were going to my brother-in-law's house in Lake Charles. I made it to Lafayette and had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And it affected me for 2.5 weeks later. I felt like an old man, not just an old man. I felt, boy.
You're the one who's on the record here with the emotional support black widow or whatever on a plane.
No, not no black widow. I'm not a tarantula. Just keep it in the cage.
Okay. All right, one more break. When we come back, final predictions here. Saints-Eagles, we'll go on the record for that. And you can weigh in. We'll take your predictions at 870-870. That's the text line. Texas, 870-870. Your prediction, Saints-Eagles tomorrow. Wrapping it up from Rouse's coming up next. All right, prediction time here. Here's one at 870-870. Saints 34, Eagles 13. That's my bet. Who dats? I'll tell you this. I learned from your son and my really good friend T-Bob that depending on what show you're on, you can make different predictions. So you can always point back and say, hey, look, over here I was right. The other one I was right. So I got two here. I had the Saints 28-24 earlier this week.
So you had your bet?
The longer I thought about it, I just think that home crowd is going to be too much here. I think it's going to be rocking. I got the Saints 35, the Eagles 24. Saints cover. What say you guys?
I'm going, I don't know.
There you go. Thanks, Longshoreman.
30-23 that they don't cover, but they still win. And it could be a convincing win, but you know I am encouraged. And it could change. This is the encouraging stat of the week.
Well, let me get my score before you go on that stat, Bobby.
Okay. Veteran move. Veteran move.
31-20.
Okay,
Saints.
So they do cover.
Yeah.
But this is very encouraging if you're a Saints fan. Because you know the coordinators, how you set up an offense, defense,
right,
or vice versa. Josh from the Times-Picayune had this. Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, look at his number against the Saints. The past four games, his defense, that being Schwartz's defense, whether he was a head coach or a coordinator, the Saints have scored at least 31 points against his defense at an average of 42. I would say
the only one that they scored, the fifth, was when he was with the Titans.
Right.
And that's where the Titans.
In 2007, he was defense coordinator with the Titans, and they won 31-14. But in the games when they were – wouldn't you say that you'd be disappointed in our defense if the Saints scored 31 points and we don't win?
Yeah.
We shouldn't win.
You got a problem.
So if we score 31 points, I even take the approach because the scoring defense, I look at all that. I even say, not even, you know, you say 19 and a half or 20 points. I even go up to 23. I think the rest of the playoffs or whatever, going to the Super Bowl, if our defense, scoring defense, bend but don't break, you know, take away the football, all that stuff, red zone, whatever it takes. But if we can be stout and give up 23 points or less, we should not lose. Or shame on Sean Payton and Drew Brees if we would.
This game will come down to red zone and third down defense. That's what it'll come down. Either the Saints are getting off the field on third down or the Eagles are converting drives. Nick Foles has been on fire as a passer the last 4 weeks. No, Bobby, you won't be able to give me that stat. But this game will come down to red zone and third down defense.
Why Deuce brought that up?
Yeah.
Because the Eagles are outstanding red zone defense and third down defense.
Yeah, text from the 985, Saints 48, Eagles 7. A little redo of the regular season. What say everybody here? Saints going to win?
Hooray!
Hey, there we go.
Yes.
All right. Our game day coverage starts tomorrow at 11 o'clock with the Acadian Windows Fans First Take right here on WWL. Kickoff 3:40. Be sure you tune in there. Thanks to Tim Acosta and everybody at Rouse's for hosting us. Guys, we have so much fun with these shows. Thank you. Thanks to Bobby.
Great, great, great crowd. Thanks for everyone that came out, participated, text, called us.
I had a lot of fun.
Looking for a victory tomorrow.
And then we'll be back at it next week.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
check your local listings. Thanks to Dominic Mischem.
Some Rouses next Saturday, hopefully.
Our engineer here. Thanks to Dave Potter back in the studio. Thanks to DePaul Smith. And, again, thank you, fellas. Take it away.
All right.
Who dat?
Who dat?
Who dat say go beat them Saints? Nobody.